You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. For those involved in a new exhibit at the State Museum, what is about to unfold this Friday sounds like much, much more than an exhibit, but almost a spiritual experience. Even the title gives you that feeling. The spirit wraps around you. Northern North Coast Native Textiles. The exhibit opens with an online ceremony this Friday, and we are pulling together two very, very busy museum curators. We're pulling them away from their efforts to launch this exhibit so they can bring us up to date with what's going on, Steve Henriksen and Jackie Manning, and also joining us, Lily Hope, who is among a number of weavers who have helped to put this exhibit together. And first of all, starting with you, Steve, can each of you tell me briefly the emotions you're feeling right now as this exhibit is about to launch?
Well, it's I feel a great deal of relief and joy to have reached this point in the preparations. It's just a little nerve-wracking because some of our loans of robes for the exhibit haven't left the ground yet from the museums that are lending them. So it's still a little bit on pins and needles, I'd have to say, but things are looking pretty good.
Jackie?
You know, it's so far, it's looking just amazing. We're just down to some small details. And so when people walk in, they're just going to be just absolutely have an experience where they stop and they need to sit for a minute and take it all in. It really is looking incredible, and we're able to see that already.
So Lily Hope, as a weaver, you must have a special set of feelings for what's about to happen.
If bubbles are feelings, that's what I've got is bubbles. Just bubbling up, we got to do a volunteer fringe afternoon last week where a number of us weavers went in and straightened fringe on the blankets. And so many of us paused and cried. We literally cried in the space, like, how amazing is this? That, you know, so many of our ancestral weavers, like in our teaching lineage, are present, like Clarissa Rizal and Jenny Sanat. And then so many living weavers having their work elevated like this. I'm just all bubbles.
Well, we're going to let Steve tell us about the visiting robes that are coming home. But can you tell us about your role in putting together this amazing collection of robes that'll be part of the exhibit, Lily?
Sure. I guess it was more than 2 years ago, year and a half ago, that we started assembling in conference rooms. Pre-COVID, and there were four or five of us weavers, six weavers, and we were asked, like, what do you want to see? What story do you want to tell? How do you want to share the lineage of this, these textiles, both the Yeifku'u Raven's Tail and the Nahein or Nahin in Haida or the Gwishalait in Simalagic Tsimshian language? So it's been collaborative the whole way, and we've felt supported and heard. It's been amazing to connect with the museum staff and, you know, the educational team and all of that, bringing this to the public.
Well, Jackie, this must be a museum curator's dream to have all of these different artists represented.
You know, it absolutely is. And it's been so lovely to be able to work with the weavers in planning the exhibit, deciding how to best display the robes, everything from the mount style to the colors they're displayed against. It's been an absolute dream to be able to collaborate on an exhibit like this, and kind of a once in a lifetime, I think, opportunity to be able to do this exhibit here. So I'm feeling very, very grateful for everybody who collaborated and participated.
I guess it is an opportunity to see how rich this tradition is, or at least get a sense of it. But Steve, I guess everybody is eagerly awaiting two very, very old robes that are coming from museums outside of Alaska. Can you tell us about these robes?
Yeah, Well, you know, I've been just as a aside, I ran across my first proposal for this exhibit that was 30 years ago, actually, and almost to the day where we first threw out this idea. And for one reason or another, we never got to it until now. I think there's just a lot of really cool exhibit ideas out there that we've been following up on, but we finally got to this one. And I'll have to say that a lot of the vision that we had 30 years ago has really been realized in this show. And even though some of the players have changed, the weavers that I worked with originally were ones that were volunteering at the museum to weave a robe here. And there were quite a few of them that were all students of Cheryl Samuel. And we spent a lot of time kind of envisioning where this could go. At that time, Raven's Tail weaving was just reemerging after about 150 years when no one was doing it anymore that we know of. And Cheryl Samuel was involved in envisioning this out. She was here teaching for the University of Alaska. We had mostly local weavers who helped on that project who all participated in kind of fleshing out this vision. Marguerite Fiorella, Janet Schemp, Marcia Steyer, Janice Criswell, Bonnie Fitzgerald, Kayfield Parker, Kristen Trumbull, Mary Lou King, Joni Lewis, and Clarissa Hudson, Rizel, all had their 2 cents worth. And we came up with this vision of bringing some of the old robes here and having a show with the new robes. And so you could sort of get a sense of the evolution over the past 200 years of these art forms. There's Raven's Tail weaving, a geometric style, and then Chilcat weaving, a more curvilinear style that uses a lot of clan crests. And we wanted to get at least one of the dozen Raven's Tail robes, original ones, that were collected in the late 1700s, early 1800s for this exhibit, because there are no whole ones left in Alaska or even on the Northwest coast. So the one that we were able to get on loan that's supposed to be getting on an airplane in the next day or two is from the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto. So there's that one. And then we have what is by many accounts the finest Chilcat robe in existence that's coming from the Peabody Museum at Salem, Massachusetts. And that's heading our way. It's a really famous design that has tinnas on it, coppers. And we are hoping to get both of those installed by opening day, which is Saturday, maybe earlier. But we're not sure on the shipping yet, and the one has to go through customs still. But it's looking pretty good now for those to arrive. And when they're here, they'll meet several dozen new and old robes that we've put together for the show.
So Lily, would you describe to us the difference between Raven's Tail and the Chilcat style and tell us what you're interested in seeing in these robes?
Raven's Tail weaving, Yeshkuwu, is mainly geometric. Lots of basketry patterns were utilized from spruce root and cedar bark basket patterns in the last few hundred years, and woven primarily of mountain goat, and black and white in color with sparing use of yellow. In contrast, the Chilcat blanket, or Nahein, or Nahin, or Gwishalit in Simalgic, those woven in the Chilcat technique, as Steve said, use adapted form line design to make them weavable without having us weavers tear our hair out. Very strong primary black lines that you can trace with your finger in most cases in the distributive designs. And in addition to black and white, the Chilcat blanket, the Nahein, uses blue and yellow in their design fields, or sometimes a greenish, like a beautiful seafoam green or light Kelly green. Let's see, what am I most excited about? Oh, and I should say that both of these textiles have been used, or we want to know, who was making these Ravenstail blankets? Why do we not have the name of a Ravenstail weaver? Historically, like, we've never been able to attribute one to a specific weaver in history, and Chilkat weaving came back to us, or never really was lost to us in the last few hundred years, that we always had a mentor weaver. Like, we could trace the lineage of that teaching. So what am I most excited about for the exhibit? Just the feeling of being in the space, and feeling that all of that knowledge and beingness, because these are 2,000 hours in the making each, right? So we've got thousands and thousands. We talk about 10,000 hours to mastery. If we've got 20 robes, we've got how many thousands of masters in there? And some of them, we have the first completed blanket by Evelyn Vanderhoop, Haida Weaver. We have a collaborative robe from, many weavers across the Southeast Alaska. The show has the last robe that my mother, Clarissa Rosal, finished and is just cutting edge, still using the blue and black and white and yellow, but just contemporary in nature. And the way that it's laid out from basketry to these final contemporary pieces, even ending with a piece of mine and Ricky Tagaban's that have kind of taken it off the blanket and making some more contemporary statement pieces. It's just, the flow is just so good. And I'm thrilled. I'm so excited for people to experience this and really know the history and the story and be able to share that out.
So Jackie, you collaborated with Lily and others to present these robes. So what can we expect to see, or do we just have to hold our breaths and wait?
It was Janice Criswell that had the idea around a different way to mount them than just hanging them on the wall. So we actually have, the robes are displayed in, we have some displayed on full mannequins, some that are mounted on the wall, and then some that are on these, it's kind of a slatted wood mount that sort of has the impression of being over someone's shoulder and gives a little bit of motion and I think a little more life to them. So you can expect to see the robes displayed maybe in ways you haven't before. And so it was a very, very exciting thing to work on and to collaborate with Jan on. And also the, as Lily was mentioning, just the layout, hopefully people will see sort of from the basketry, Ravenstail, the groupings that exist. We have two different robes that are transitional. Those ones are stunning. And then we have an entire side that is all the Chilkat style. And it really, there's some that are up on stages and some on body forms. Besides just robes, we have two tunics that are on exhibit. We have a couple of aprons, a pouch and leggings, and one of Lily's contemporary masks, and an iPhone case by Ricky Tagaban. So just a really exciting display that I hope brings to life what the weavers were hoping for.
I have to ask, Steve, because this is such an amazing display, especially with the two rare blankets coming from outside Alaska, why you didn't maybe postpone this? Because we don't have celebration right now. That seems like that would be a natural time to have this exhibit. Tourists can't see them because we don't have the big cruise ships coming in. So what's your thinking about going forward with this exhibit?
Well, I think there's so many moving parts to this, and we had gotten it almost ready to open last year at this time, and then COVID got really bad and we were really forced to pull the plug on it because those loans were not going to be able to happen given all the restrictions going into place. And so we decided to kick the can down the road. We were disappointed about missing the connection with Celebration. We weren't really sure what was going to happen, so we put everything on hold. We were able to keep most of the loan pieces that we had gotten already by extending the loans. And when it came time to decide about this year, a call had to be made, and we decided to go forward. And I think it had to do with the momentum that we had going on it already and the hope that we were starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, and that maybe, just maybe, this would be a real morale booster for everybody who could see it. And we realize that not everyone will be able to come, especially with no cruise ships, but we think that a lot of people will get to see it. And so we decided to go forward. And so that's how we got here.
So on Friday, you kind of have your virtual opening ceremonies to welcome all the robes, sort of a soft launch of the exhibit. How can we take part in that? Is there a way virtually to be a part of this?
Yeah, it's we've arranged with KTOO to video the event and live stream it. So if you go to the Alaska State Museum website, you'll be able to find a link to that live stream. It's also going to be recorded, so you could watch it later. And then we'll have it'll be open to the public the Saturday morning, the May 8th at noon, and we'll be open till 4. And we'd like people to make reservations for their visit just so that we can make sure we don't exceed the maximum number of people that make social distancing possible. So if you could call ahead and decide which block of time you want. We also have a couple lectures going on. Lonnie Hotch from Klukwan will be speaking at 1 to 2, and I will be speaking from 3 to 4. And you need to sign up for tickets to see those. We're really limited on space in our auditorium. But those will be taped too and available on the website to watch later if you can't make it down here to see it in person. So, and we are planning other events and opportunities throughout the run of the show. And maybe by the time the show closes in October, things will be business as usual again, and we'll be able to have a really great closing ceremony that more people can come to.
Well, one of the things that's exciting about this is that it's not just a display. It's much more than that. And Lily, I understand you're going to be involved in demonstrating weaving techniques.
That's right. I am in the process of weaving a blanket for a museum in the lower 48, and it is the first of its kind that I know of. I will be there Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays from 1:15 to 4-ish until the summer schedule opens up. So Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, pretty much 1 to 4. You can pop in and sit on the bench next to me in your mask and ask me questions. And the other part that I get to sit right next to these beautiful displays that Sophie Lager got to build. She's just graduated with a BLA in Museum Studies and Alaskan Art, but she made these invisible mounts. I mean, they feel invisible because when you walk up to these cases that have like so many colors that Patty Fiorella dyed of the traditional dyes that we could be using in our Chilkat and Raven's Tail blankets. And that, I just geek out over it. It's so beautiful how they're displayed and just the volume of knowledge that is right there in those little plexiglass cases. It's so fun. And describing, you know, the EPI, like what is ends per inch? What is the materials that we use in these? How old is this dye stuff? It's just so fun. So I look forward to seeing you if you can come hang out with me Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and come learn all about these textiles. I'm so thrilled it's happening.
So, Jackie, from a curator's point of view, what makes these blankets stand out all over the world?
Oh, wow. That's an incredible question. I think it's, they're so stunning. They're so, like Lily said, they take thousands of hours to make. It requires being a master weaver to make one of these robes. And, with the circular designs that are in Chilkat being so unique to this area, it really is, some of the best weavings in the world right here in, we're having this exhibit and this right here in Juneau, Alaska, and these weaving styles are, from this area that we live in, and how incredible that, we live here and we have the opportunity to see them and then to get to celebrate them with an exhibit that has, I want to say, close to 24 robes, which to have them in mass like this in one space where you can come see, 24 robes, it's pretty incredible experience. So definitely worth, your visit to the museum and beyond our events this coming week with the opening on Saturday. We're hoping to have something almost monthly. And so there will be different opportunities. Just please stay tuned in for what we have going on. As Lily had said, there's been, lots of weavers that are involved with the Chilkat Dye Group that have been meeting. And so we're going to have a presentation on that coming up. Also, Lily's going to give a presentation for us in September. So many exciting things to come throughout the entire summer while this exhibit is up.
Well, Steve, I'll let you wrap up our segment here. What do you feel culminates with this exhibit, aside from a long-held dream that passed through the decades? But what is going to happen that's a moment in history?
Yeah, it's for me at least, I think that one of the more significant outcomes of the exhibit will hopefully be for Alaskans and visitors to see how special these traditions really are, not only in Alaska, but in the entire world. And I could sense when talking to the curators at these distant museums that we've borrowed robes from, how much pride they have in sort of being associated with these incredibly rare and masterpiece quality works of art. And I think that here in Alaska, maybe we have a tendency to take certain things for granted sometimes, and we sort of lose a sense of how special these things are, how people, Alaskan natives, they figured out how to make these things from local materials that they gathered and developed a whole body of knowledge to be able to process them and invented new techniques for making it. They had a vision, but there was no instruction book. They had to write it themselves by figuring things out. And I think you'll see, especially in both the old robes and the new ones, that there's a thread of continuity that runs between them all. And I think it's something to be really proud of. And finally, this is more than just art. It is art, but these are sacred objects. Many of them are sacred to the clans that commissioned them and used them, and that they really fulfill a profound niche in Native cultural ceremonial activities that's as profound as you can possibly imagine the way that these are used in ceremonies. And that's where the title of the exhibit comes from. The spirit wraps around you. They're used for comforting the bereaved who have lost family members. One of their roles is to wrap around people who are grieving to bring them strength. So we hope to convey that sense that this is these are spiritual objects. They're fine art, yes, but also very, very powerful spirit objects.
So, Lily, tell us the title, The Spirit Wraps Around You. How does that resonate with you?
It makes all the sense. It brings it full circle, closes the circle, if you will. It, like Steve was saying, this, I'll just go back to this. The Spirit Wraps Around You really is kind of like that movie Chocolat, where she's cooking, and when she's emotional and she's crying into it, everyone who eats the food feels that. A cohort of us, there are about 60 of us weavers who started another collaborative robe, the Giving Strength robe, specifically for sexual and domestic violence survivors. And going into the work, we all decided to weave a 5x5 inch square of weaving, and we're going to stitch them all together with drawstrings, the way that a Chilkat blanket would be assembled. But we'll bring them from all over Southeast. And as we started weaving these squares, we had to talk amongst ourselves and support each other in bringing the strength and bringing the healing to the work, rather than any grief or anger or resentment that could be held toward the perpetrators. So when all of these prayers and strength and healing go into these weavings, and then we piece all these 60 people's prayers together, you can imagine the spirit that wraps around you as you drape that particular blanket over your shoulders. Wow. So that's the embodiment of the work.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, but those are good things to think about going into seeing this exhibit, The Spirit Wraps Around You. Thank you very much for joining us, Steve Henriksen, Jackie Manning, and Lily Hope.